Everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. I will open this up in prayer as usual. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to allow us to gather and to consider your word this morning. Thank you for your son that you provided for us, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Thank you for a ministry that prioritizes your word. Help us to continue to learn this morning, to focus, and take what we know forward. I ask that if there are any here or listening online who don't know their spiritual gifts and the way they should be contributing to the body more generally, I ask that you make that clear. And I also ask, Lord, for those who could not make it because of physical issues or a time conflict or whatever else, my prayer is that you allow them next week, Lord willing, to make it. And more importantly, Lord, for those who don't know about what your son did for the earth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that you give us an opportunity to evangelize in our families, on our jobs, and wherever else you place us. These things I ask in your name. Amen. All right, if you'll stand, we'll have our song selection this morning. All right, good morning again.
Good morning.
Turn for me to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. And the title of today's message is Ye Are Holy Unto the Lord. Again, that's Ezra chapter 8. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. Ezra chapter 8, verse 1 reads this way. Now these are the heads of their fathers' households, and the genealogical enrollment of those who went out with me from Babylon in the reign of King Artaxerxes, of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom, of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel, of the sons of David, Hattush, of the sons of Shechaniah, who was of the sons of Peros, Zechariah, and with them 150 males who were in the genealogical list, of the sons of Pahath Moab, Eliohonai, the son of Zerahiah, and 200 males with him. Of the sons of Setu, Shechaniah, the son of Jehaziel, and 300 males with him. And of the sons of Aden, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and 50 males with him. And of the sons of Elam, Jeshiah, the son of Athaliah, and 70 males with him. And of the sons of Shephatiah, Zebediah, the son of Michael, and 80 males with him. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and 218 males with him. And of the sons of Bani, Shelomith, the son of Josephiah, and 160 males with him. And of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, son of Bebai, and 28 males with him. And of the sons of Azgad, Johanan, the son of Hakatan, and 110 males with him. And of the sons of Adonikam, the last ones, these being their names, Eliphet, Jul, and Shemaiah, and 60 males with them. And of the sons of Bigvai, Uthai, and Zabud, and 70 males with them. Now I assembled with them at the river that runs to Ahava, where we camped for 3 days. And when I observed the people and the priests, I did not find any Levites there. So I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Nathan, Zechariah, and Mishalom, leading men, and for Joiarib and Elnathan, teachers. I sent them to Edo, the leading man at the place Casaphia, and I told them what to say to Edo and his brothers, the temple servants at the place Casaphia, that is, to bring ministers to us for the house of our God. According to the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of insight, of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah and his sons and brothers, men, verse 19, and Hashabiah and Josiah of the sons of Merari, with his brothers and their sons, 20 men, and 220 of the temple servants, whom David and the princes had given for the service of the Levites, all of them designated by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. And then I set apart 12 of the leading priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and with them 10 of their brothers. And I weighed out to them the silver, the gold, and the utensils, the offering for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel present there had offered. Thus I weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver utensils worth 100 talents, and 100 gold talents, and 20 gold bowls worth 1,000 derricks, and 2 utensils of fine shiny bronze, precious as gold. Then I said to them, you are holy to the Lord, and the utensils are holy, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leading priests, the Levites, and the heads of the fathers' households of Israel at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So the priests and the Levites accepted the weighed out silver and gold and the utensils to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of our God. Then we journeyed from the river Ahava on the 12th of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was over us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and the ambushes by the way. Then we came to Jerusalem and remained there three days. On the fourth day, the silver and the gold and the utensils were weighed out in the house of our God into the hand of Merimoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with them was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas. And with them were the Levites, Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Binui. Everything was numbered and weighed, and all the weight was recorded at that time. The exiles who had come from the captivity offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats for a sin offering, all as a burnt offering to the Lord. Then they delivered the king's edicts to the king's satraps and to the governors in the provinces beyond the river. And they supported the people and the house of God. Amen. So as a reminder from last week, we're now on the reign of King Artaxerxes. And he gave his support for the people of Israel, leaving Babylon in the second wave now to go to Jerusalem. And part of that second wave includes Ezra. And because of Ezra's significance as a priest and other roles, he has to set things in order. We read about that here in chapter 8, and then we'll especially read it in chapter 9. So remember, this group that we read about is part of the second group that has left Babylon. So we read briefly about this genealogy. The Israelites were really renowned at the time, and even now, for keeping excellent records of who came from what family. So it tracks that they would keep track of this second group who is making a very significant move to Jerusalem. Now, what Ezra realized, we read in chapter 8, is that at one point, he sees there's no Levites in this group that is leaving. And that's important given what the Levites had to do in service to the temple. Ezra actually was part of the Levitical priesthood. Let's read that briefly in Nehemiah, the next book over to your right, chapter 12. All of the priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. We'll read briefly about this genealogy here in Nehemiah 12 again. I'll read starting from verse 1. It reads this way. Now these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Sariah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Maluk, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Merimoth, Edo, Ginathoi, Abijah, Mizamim, Madiah, Bilga, Shemaiah, and Joyarib, Jediah, Shaluamach, Hilkiah, and Jediah. These were the heads of the priests and their kinsmen in the days of Jeshua. So just so you know, the Levites, their obligation is to take care of this temple. After the people of God had come from Babylon all the way back to Jerusalem, rebuilt this temple, now we have this 58-year gap I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and now in this second group that's coming, Ezra realizes we need some of the people that are going to take care of this temple when we arrive. And as I mentioned before, everybody who was a priest came from the line of Levi. But not everybody who was a Levite was a priest. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 47. God had a very special inheritance for the Levites. Let's read that briefly here. Again, that is Numbers chapter 1. Numbers is the fourth book of our Bible. Numbers chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 47. It reads this way. The Levites, however, were not numbered among them by their father's tribe. For the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, "Only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor shall you take their census among the sons of Israel. But you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all its furnishings, and over all that belongs to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall take care of it. They shall also camp around the tabernacle. So when the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down. Excuse me. And when the tabernacle encamps, the Levites shall set it up. But the layman who comes near shall be put to death. The sons of Israel shall camp, each man by his own camp, and each man by his own standard, according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there will be no wrath on the congregation of the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony." Thus the sons of Israel did according to all which the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. God had a very special role for the Levites, even in comparison to the other people of Israel. Turn one more book over to your right. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Again, we want you to see the significance of the Levites, especially where the people of Israel and this temple is concerned. Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I'll begin reading at the first verse. It reads this way. The Levitical priest, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire and his portion. They shall have no inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. Now this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, either an ox or a sheep, of which they shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the stomach. You shall give him the first fruits of your grain, your new wine, and your oil, and the first shearing of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen him and his sons from all your tribes to stand and serve in the name of the Lord forever. Verse 6. Now if a Levite comes from any of your towns throughout Israel where he resides, and comes wherever he desires to the place where the Lord chooses, or the place which the Lord chooses, then he shall serve in the name of the Lord his God, like all his fellow Levites who stand there before the Lord. So the Levites had a particular way that God provided for them. They did not have an inheritance like the other tribes. Instead, God made it so the people gave directly to them. Which is particularly particular among the other tribes. Nobody else had that. Now it turns out, and this is just some foreshadowing for chapter 9, it turns out that another prophet referred to this covenant that God had with Levi. Turn for me to Malachi. That is the final book in the Old Testament. If you can find Matthew, go back one book. Again, that is Malachi chapter 2. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. The priests that were in the land, they were wayward. And when God refers to their wayward behavior, he brings them back to this covenant that he made with Levi. Again, that's Malachi chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 1. And it reads this way. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. So you should see now the relative importance of Levites, right, to what the people of Israel are doing that we have documented in Ezra here. Remember, Ezra was a man, a priest, but he also was very familiar with the law. So it tracks that when he realized we don't have any Levites, he would be the one to speak up. I'll read it for you briefly. You don't have to turn there. It's Ezra 7:10 as a reminder. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Now, what we read in chapter 8 is that Ezra, when he realizes that they don't have any Levites, remember, initially, nobody volunteered. Nobody was in that second group. But when he makes this plea the second time, now people begin to come. And that is another example of God's providence. God put it in men's hearts now to contribute in a way they would not have done the first time. As a reminder, let's read Ezra 8, verses 15 to 20. We'll read about the men that God provided when Ezra realized there were no Levites in the camp. It's a difficult job, a significant one, and God turned these men's heart that they might contribute. Again, that's Ezra chapter 8, back to our passage, and I'll read briefly here verses 15 to 20. It says, "Now I assembled them at the river that runs to Ahava, where we camped for 3 days. And when I observed the people and the priests, I did not find any Levites there. So I sent for Eleazar, Ario, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Mishalam, leading men, and for Joyarib and Elnathan, teachers. I sent them to Edo, the leading man, at the place Casaphia, and I told them what to say to Edo and his brothers, the temple servants at the place Casaphia, that is, to bring ministers, those are the Levites, to us for the house of our God. According to the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of insight, of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah and his sons and brothers, men, and Hashabiah and Josiah of the sons of Merari, with his brothers and their sons, men, verse 20, and 220 of the temple servants, whom David and the princes had given for the service of the Levites, all of them designated by name." Again, that group is people that God, he stirred up their hearts now to contribute in a way they did not have, he did not do prior to that. Now, right after we figure out these Levites are coming, Ezra proclaims a fast. Before they make this big move, he wants to figure out, are we making the correct decision? So he fasts to try and figure that out. But it's interesting. He makes a decision to fast, but before that, he told the king, essentially, look, stay out of our way, right? I'll read it as a reminder. Ezra 8, verse 21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones and our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him." So in other words, the people in Ezra had already told the king, God is with us. So then Ezra doesn't want to tell the king, well, send us people to defend our stuff as we go, because he had already told them, God is going to be with us on our journey. It's ironic that he made the decision and then fasted when he could have done it the other way. But anyway, the point is, he doesn't want to look like he's undermining his first decision by going to the king to say, provide us a security detail, if I can put it that way. Fasting, more generally, is something common that the people of Israel did in the Old and New Testament before they made a big decision. Let's see that briefly. Turn back for me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 this time. Again, that is Nehemiah chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Again, Nehemiah is just one book over to your right. It reads this way. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. I'll read verse 7 as well. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances, which you commanded your servant Moses. So in Nehemiah's case, he is so distraught by the state of the people that were in Israel that he fasts and asks the Lord to make it clear to him what should happen in response. And God did that. Right? The book of Nehemiah details all of that. Turn for me to Acts chapter 13. Again, that is Acts chapter 13. We'll read about what the early church leaders did before they sent missionaries out. Again, Acts chapter 13, I'll begin reading at verse 1. It reads this way. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So we see in the New Testament people fasting and praying before sending out fellow missionaries to in furtherance, I should say, of the gospel. Now the total weight of the jewels and plates and other stuff that the Israelites moved, you'll see that experts have put it around 28 tons. That is an extraordinary amount to not have any security around you. Like I said, Ezra did not want to ask for soldiers and horses to defend their stuff, but God made it, so they're able to move freely. Yet another example of his providence. Now, further into chapter 8, we read about the trip that they made. It's roughly 900 miles with all that gear, and it took about 4 months. But more importantly, we see the phrase the hand of our God there. And I mentioned last week, that phrase means that God was, influencing their trip in a particular way. It meant that Ezra understood that the goodwill they had, being that enemies didn't rob them, that people didn't die on a long trip, was because God was with them. I'll read briefly where we saw that last week from Ezra chapter 7. You don't have to turn there. Ezra 7, 9 and 10. For on the first of the first month, he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month, that's the four-month period there, he came to Jerusalem because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now what we see once this group arrived is that they made a series of offerings to God in jubilation, I'm sure, having arrived safely. And that's something the first group did too. I'll read that in Ezra chapter 6 as a reminder. Turn there for me. Ezra chapter 6, and I'll read verses 17 and 18. We'll read now about this first group, again, that made the trip to Jerusalem. And they gave a series of sacrifices. I'll actually begin at verse 16. Ezra chapter 6, verse 16. It reads this way. And the sons of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. They offered for the dedication of this temple of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, corresponding to the number of the tribes of Israel. Verse 18. Then they appointed the priests to their divisions, and the Levites in their orders for the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. Then flip over to chapter 8. Chapter 8, I'll read verses 35 and 36 as a reminder. Ezra chapter 8, verse 35 and 36, read this way. The exiles who had come from the captivity offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats for a sin offering, all as a burnt offering to the Lord. Then they delivered the king's edicts to the king's satraps and to the governors in the provinces beyond the river. And they supported the people and the house of God. I've mentioned in weeks past that all of these sacrifices that we're reading about in Ezra, they all point to a greater sacrifice in Christ. But it's noteworthy that twice now in this book, we've seen both groups come to Jerusalem from Babylon, right, and offer sacrifices to their God. That is not a coincidence. And it should make you think on days where you're wondering, okay, I'm reading a concept in the Old Testament. What does it have to do with the New? The vast majority of them are going to point to Christ, right? Who is a perfect sacrifice. Now, as I mentioned, this trip that the Israelites made, it wasn't that they were anxious about the trip. What they did, as I mentioned earlier, is they sought the Lord about doing so. So Ezra made a point to fast. That's useful for us today. Whether you fast or not, we have a mandate to, instead of being anxious about our day-to-day affairs, or how is this going to work out? What does this mean? The Bible is clear that we should be making requests unto our God instead of being anxious. And now that I'm thinking of it, I don't have it in here, but we can read it. Turn for me to Philippians chapter 4. We have a response. My apologies for not having it in there. It just came up in my brain now. We have a response to being anxious. Something we should do instead of being anxious. Again, that is Philippians chapter 4. The specter of moving with all this gear, jewelry, and things that people may want to rob you for or to hurt you. What the Israelites did was seek the Lord first so that they would not be anxious. Well, what do we have in the New Testament? What are our obligations? Again, that's Philippians chapter 4. And I'll begin reading at verse 6. It reads this way: Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7, And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and of anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In the same way that these people could trust that the hand of their God was on them, God is very much present in our affairs too. And we have a responsibility, instead of being racked by anxiety about things we can't control, make your request, right, in prayer unto God. It's one thing that we do corporately, by the way, here on Thursday evenings. Now, what the Lord did is make sure that the temple had Levites in this second group. I mentioned earlier that that is a sign of his provision, right? There were Levites in the first group, but Ezra judged it fit to make sure there were Levites in the second group because of all the operations of this temple. Well, let that be a reminder to you. I've said in the past, it's not only that God gives us resources physically, but he also can turn the hearts of men for his own glory. And in Ezra's case, he was able to find men that were Levites, that would help with the operation of this temple, not because he gave them this great spiel about how they would have fun and whatever. What he really told them is that they have an obligation. And then it took God to put them in the right heart space, if I can put it that way, that they would go with Ezra. And of course, that worked out, right? They go to the temple, and we'll read, as I close here, we'll read next week about chapter 9. I mentioned last week that there's a 58-year gap between chapter 6 of Ezra and chapter 7 that we read. And in that gap, as you might assume, the people of Israel have come back to Jerusalem, but they've strayed a little bit from what the Lord asked them to do. And Ezra's role as a leader and a priest, no doubt, he has to go and tell them to end their mixed marriages. People had taken wives of the people that were around them, right? People that weren't of Israel, which was not good, right? We'll read more next week about why that matters and the significance of it for the people of Israel specifically. Amen? I'll close this out in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to consider your word. Thank you for all the ways that you provided for your people in the Old Testament and the New alike, chiefly your son, who died on a cross, a brutal death for all of us and the world at large. And my prayer is that anybody here or listening, or who sees this message at some other point in the future, if they don't believe or if they don't understand what your son did in his death, burial, and resurrection, that they have open ears and soft hearts. And for those who are traveling to see family this holiday season, who will interact with unbelievers, even those who are hostile to the faith, I pray even those who are hostile now, that they their hearts are pricked, that they understand that many years ago a man died for them, even when they were sinners, even when they were ungodly. I thank God that those who believe, we understand that. And my prayer is that we point the world at large, those who don't believe, to your son Christ. These things I ask in your name. Amen. All right, announcements are as usual. We have Sunday morning service here at 10 o'clock. I mentioned a few minutes ago we have informal Bible study here at 6:30. There's a Zoom link on the right side of the church homepage. If you can't be here physically, please use the prayer request button as well. We collect those, and then we pray corporately as a body on Thursday evening. Don't be afraid to use it. We are very willing to pray on your behalf and pray in agreement with you that the Lord answer your prayer in a swift manner that you understand. All right. Thank you, as always, for listening, and have a wonderful day.